Marie McEwen's with me. How are you, Marie?
I'm well, thanks, Matt. How are you?
I'm well. You've been around stables for a long, long time. Whenever there's an airlift, it's obviously a cause for some concern, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, a very worrying situation out of Pakenham there this morning, and our thoughts are with Michael Walker, his family, and the whole Pakenham Training Centre. You know, the trainer involved and the staff around that stable would be very concerned, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Now, you have expertise that I don't have, so that's why we've enlisted you. Of course, you do some stuff for Price Bloodstock, yearling sales consultant. You've ridden track for a number of stables. There's not much you haven't done. You're actually RSN's digital mounting yard assessor at carnival time as well, so you know these animals better than I do, and you're going to hold my hand through the next hour.
That's fine. I'm here to help. But there are, of course, people that know more than me, and that's what we're here to talk about and to run through this Racing Victoria prevention seminar. So Grace Forbes is just joining us.
Yes, one of those is indeed Grace Forbes. How are you, Grace?
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So these are these annual or regular? I've been to one or two before. Do they happen every year?
Pre-COVID, they were annual events. We had a little hiatus, like a lot of events in person did over COVID. But no, it's an annual seminar that we host.
And the fact that they happen annually suggests that a lot can happen in 12 months, such as the nature of technology, Marie, and so on, that in a 12-month period, Grace, I'm sure there's a clean slate every time. And we have had COVID, so it's been a bit of a gap now, hasn't it? So a lot must have happened in preventative technology, say, in about the last 3 years, I would imagine.
Yeah, research is an ongoing thing, and we're constantly learning new things all the time, and technology's really been at the forefront over the last few years. I was at a veterinary conference just a few months ago, and one of the speakers had a really nice quote that they had, and it was that technology won't replace vets, but vets that use technology logically and carefully will replace those that don't. And I thought that was a really neat summary of sort of the direction that we're heading in lots of different fields.
It'd be very science fiction if technology did replace vets, like robot vets.
Yeah, robot vets.
Oh, you've had a good career, Grace. You've had a good career.
Oh, no. But Grace, from a trainer's perspective, I mean, we know trainers and probably people in general aren't that easy to change their mindset. So I guess this is what this seminar is about, bringing people here and just explaining difference and new technology that's sort of happened in the last period of time.
Yeah, definitely. The aim of these types of seminars, and particularly this one with a focus on injury prevention, we're drawing heavily on what we've learnt from the Equine Limb Injury Prevention Program, which is a program that Racing Victoria funds. And it's not easy to predict injuries, but what we've learnt from this research so far is that, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to do. There's not one thing that we can change, but there's a lot of things that people can look at implementing to look at reducing injuries. And the point of this seminar is to share that information with our trainers and our private vets so that they can look at ways that they can just tweak the way that they train horses to help minimise injuries.
How important is it? I know this has come up with a few examples of horses in recent times where a lot of people have said, if only we had a deeper profile of this horse's patterns and evolution and bone growth and so on as a reference point. How important is it, as well as to be at the forefront of technology, but to also have a bank of information? And how practical is it? I imagine that we've got a lot of horses. How practical is it to have a full view of that horse's whole story?
It is a challenge at the moment, but there's definitely quite a few stables now that are moving in that direction. So today we're going to hear from Deborah Siever, who's a vet that's going to be speaking about the lameness locator.
She's a superstar.
She is indeed. She's got a very unique history.
She has. We'll go over that in a minute too, because it'll catch people's ears when they hear that. So.
And so the lameness locator is not actually that new. The technology's been around for 5 years, and it's used extensively in Europe and Asia. And in Singapore at the Jockey Club there, they actually have done quite a bit of work where they monitored their racing population, you know, every 2 weeks. And so that gave them that longitudinal picture of horses where they could look for subtle changes along the way. And there's stables here in Victoria that have been doing that for some time. There's also some stables that are have invested quite heavily in technology for monitoring track work. And so a lot of that new technology, as well as measuring, you know, speed and distance, looks at stride characteristics and heart rate. And they're things that can give the trainer an indication that there might be a change in the horse. And as that, it's like any technology, as that technology evolves, it'll become more affordable. And, you know, our pie in the sky would be that one day it would be possible to have that sort of technology on every horse for every workout, so that trainers have that information readily available to them to detect changes.
Would it be like a microchip that you just put your thing on? So this is me. This is my dump.
this is why I'm here.
You'd put your thing on the microchip and it would give you a full reading of that horse.
Maybe one day, probably more likely we'd have sort of a unit that is like a wearable technology. Like we're all used to, you know, Fitbits have been around for an eternity for humans. Your iPhones tell you how many steps you've done in a day. And so if we can get some sort of easy to put on technology for horses, like some sort of wearable device that can measure all of those characteristics, that's where we'd be aiming at.
And do you think, Grace, as stables have gotten bigger, I mean, trainers have got lots of different locations, and we all know that they aren't at those locations every morning a horse works. So I think that if you've got like a portal for the trainers to view all the information without actually being there, they can, you know, have a look at that horse's work, its speed, its stride length, without actually seeing the work as well?
I definitely, there's a lot of trainers that use technology in those ways. We see, like you said, trainers with different training locations, and that definitely gives them an extra bit of insight if they're not there for training. I think a lot of the trainers would say, though, they still need, you know, you can get information, you know, from a reading, but some of that, you know, what you can see and feel with your eyes and your hands is irreplaceable. So I think it's always going to be a combination of all of those things.
And speaking of combination of all things, I imagine there's biological things that are sort of obviously being addressed with technology, but there are external factors as well when it comes to injury, and that's the nature of turns, the nature of the tracks we work on, and the way we prepare. You know, there's some suggestion from some trainers that horses are prepared to sell rather than to race, and that they are presented in a way at yearling sales which can make them difficult to work with. You know, they're sometimes overfed even. So I imagine there's two sides to this, isn't there? There's the animal itself and how we look under the hood there, but there's also the other factors that can lead to injury.
There's definitely there's lots of factors that contribute. We know that the main contributing factors relate to the amount of work that a horse does, and so that's an accumulation over time. But definitely there are other factors. I mean, we know from some of the research from ELIP, when you look at, say, two-year-old racing, we know that sympathetic racing of two-year-olds is actually beneficial for the horse. It reduces their risk of injury and can prolong their career if it's done in a sympathetic way.
So racing two-year-olds, but racing them in a certain way.
Yeah, and can you just explain that a bit more, Grace, just about the bone density of horses as well, and the stressing of the bone to regenerate new growth? Just to explain that a bit more, how that sort of works in younger horses.
Younger horses definitely have a more responsive skeleton. That's the easiest way of putting it. And so they adapt very quickly to the work that's given to them, much more quickly than an older horse would. And so it's a sympathetic racing program for a two-year-old. So, you know, that's why our program is made with sort of those shorter distance races spread out more. Can set up a horse's skeleton for a much longer racing career because they have the ability to adapt so much more quickly at that earlier age.
So they've got a more malleable skeleton. I'll give you an example that'll sound ridiculous. When I was at primary school, a concrete pipe that we used to play on rolled on one of my mates, rolled over him. And
okay.
We thought, oh, my God. My dad was a local GP, and he said the reason why, I can't remember the kid's name, the reason why he survived so well is because he had malleable bones, and he didn't, his bones, because he was an 8-year-old rather than a 25-year-old. So the young racehorses probably got that little bit of wriggle room with bone development. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, essentially.
It's a bizarre example, I know.
It's an interesting example, but yes, they can adapt, more readily when they're younger than when they're older.
And I've got a question about bone density. Is there any difference in bone density between colts, fillies or a gelded horse?
I'm not aware of any studies looking at density, but there's definitely been plenty of studies done looking at the risk of injury when you compare geldings, horses and mares, and horses tend to be overrepresented, so at a higher risk, but it's not particularly clear cut, and there can be some confounding factors, but some people have thought that that might, hormones may have an influence on bone metabolism, but yeah, that's fairly repeatable.
Are colts and entire's more heavy set? Does that lend itself more to injury than, say, a leaner gelding or filly?
That could be a contributing factor, weight, yep. The weight carried, for sure.
Yep. Are some countries, this is a kind of a global gathering, and we're going to certainly learn more about that with Deborah Sieber. Are some countries ahead of others? I mean, is there a sort of a universe, a global technology level at the moment in horse racing? Because it's a very sophisticated sport and there are major jurisdictions. Are we all at the same level, or are some playing catch up with others?
I think it's like, you know, any aspect, there's going to be people that lead in certain areas. I know that there's lots of racing jurisdictions that are looking at stride characteristics. So we can, with our new timing systems, measure horses' stride characteristics when they're racing. And we know from some of the work from the ELIP program that we expect to see a change in a horse's stride characteristic before they sustain an injury. And that's something that's being worked on in the States quite heavily. So you've got people looking at stride characteristics. When you come to exercise monitoring, like that wearable technology, I know that in Asia they've invested heavily and they're really looking at, particularly with their style of racing population, when they're all captive in the one place where that makes it a bit easier, they've sort of invested heavily in that area. So I think everybody's sort of moving forward, some focusing sort of more in other areas.
Are some countries more injury prone than others? I remember there was a spate of injuries at Los Alamitos and Santa Anita in training. Are there some countries that need to pull up their socks?
I think there's definitely a recognised difference in injury rate across different jurisdictions, and that's for various reasons, generally not one single one. In the States, they have a lot of races on dirt, and we know that the injury rate on dirt compared to turf is higher, and that is a contributing factor. There's other factors like their medication controls are very different here or in America, probably compared to the rest of the world. They have a what you call a permissive medication system in many states. It's currently being reviewed at the moment, but where they can give pain relieving medication on race day, which is definitely a contributing factor. So there are some countries that are known to have a higher injury rate, but there's lots of reasons for those. But particularly in the States, I know they're working really hard to look at different ways they can reduce
there's
that.
There's legislation coming through and all sorts of innovations going on there.
Yeah, I think that probably that bad reputation that America's had previously is hopefully on the improve with their changes and things by the sounds of it, because they did have a few issues over there.
They have had over the years. Grace, thanks so much for your time. At the seminar, which starts in 40 minutes and people can still come up the stairs, car park, Cranbourne Turf Club, in the nicely warmed up dining room. You are going to be giving an update also on the Melbourne Cup protocols as well, just in a snapshot, because we discussed it before, but just a snapshot about what the expectation and the cup entries are today, and it'll be interesting to see how many internationals are now more interested than they were last year.
Yeah, so in addition to hearing from me after lunch today, we've got, which I know you're going to speak to Deborah Sieber after myself, and she's a pretty interesting woman, so I think people will be keen to hear her history. We're going to hear from Professor Witten talking about the Equine Limb Injury Prevention Program, and Dr. Alex Young, who is going to be talking about imaging and what's the best type of advanced diagnostic imaging depending on the problem that, you know, a vet and a trainer might find. And that is pretty interesting because it ties in nicely with our diagnostic imaging subsidy. So we obviously subsidise MRI, CT and scintigraphy, and basically her talk is going to help guide people on, you know, what's the most appropriate imaging modality to choose. So as you said, I really encourage people to come along today because we're going to hear from some really interesting speakers.
And the next one is going to be one of those, absolutely. Hey, Grace, good on you. Thanks very much. Great to see you. And, it's great that there's a bit of a rhythm back to these after COVID because they're so important. I think there'll be a few trainers here today too who know that they need to be ahead of this curve. So you're listening to a Racing Pulse from the Cranbourne Turf Club.